Welcome to Dose of Depth Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and I invite you to explore what's beneath the surface of all sorts of things, including your own life. Through conversation, stories, and education, you'll see what you couldn't see before, find new meaning in old events, and even discover a new sense of purpose out there in the world. Let's get started. In this episode, I read a blog post I wrote back in 2020 and then updated again in about a year ago, 2023. It's about my experience of a film, and as I've shared with you, films are one way that my unconscious speaks to me pretty directly. So you'll be entertained, and especially if you're exploring your relationship with religion, you might also gain some new insights for yourself. I also do mention several resources that I will, in the description box, put a link to the blog post, and you can find links to the various resources as well. So let's get started. The hidden meaning of the film Aquaman. "What? This is the Book of Revelation," I whispered out loud during one of the six viewings of the film Aquaman. A little context. During this phase of my midlife journey, I had been re-exploring my childhood religion of Christianity, after having rejected it twice already. The irony of being in a soulmate relationship with a fundamentalist Christian at the time was not lost on me. I appreciated C.G. Jung's suggestion that, quote, "we must read the Bible or we shall not understand psychology," end quote. So I jumped into the world of looking at Christianity through the lens of depth psychology. I ate up books written by Dr. Anne Belford Ulanoff, Jungian analyst and professor of psychiatry and religion. One of my favorites of hers is titled Picturing God. I agreed with her that the symbols of traditional religion are not effectively allowing many to live fully in connection with God. And what I mean by God also is spirituality, nature, the quantum realm, the field of infinite possibilities, whatever it means to you. What is left is a disembodied experience of faith based on words. I got even more excited after reading Women and Redemption, A Theological History by American feminist scholar and Catholic theologian Rosemary Radford Ruther. Her work reveals the strong feminine that is present in the Bible and traces the lack of consensus that existed at the very start of the creation of Christian doctrine. In the end, my decision not to get back on board with Christianity was driven by exhaustion at the thought of having to wait for Christianity to transcend patriarchy. But the fight to save the soul of Christianity continues. Check out Megan Chance. She's a feminist who's on a journey to reclaim feminism for Christianity. I love her, and I interviewed her in my podcast. I'll share that link too. Sign up for her podcast, Faith and Feminism. My unexpected response to a blockbuster film. "What? This is the Book of Revelation." I had just finished reading a book titled Beginner's Guide to Revelation, A Jungian Interpretation by Robin Robertson, clinical psychologist and author of multiple books on Jungian psychology. The timing of my reading of this book and the release of the 2018 blockbuster film Aquaman was uncanny. The superhero film is based on the DC Comics character Aquaman, who represents the promise of reconciliation between the seven underwater kingdoms of Atlantis and the surface world. Young Aquaman, named Arthur by his mother, is born of the love between Atlanta, queen of Atlantis who fled an arranged marriage, and Tom, a lighthouse keeper. I made the connection with the biblical story during the third viewing of the film, specifically the image of Aquaman, golden trident in hand, riding atop the beast which rose from the trench kingdom. The character, played by Willem Dafoe, quietly proclaims, "The king is risen." I cried for some reason. I figured out that I identified with Arthur as an underdog and his wounds becoming the source of his power. The tears reflected a new awareness I was coming into relationship with my own wounds and that this would bring a new sense of meaning to my life. This prompted me to return to a previous dream. In the dream, an alien in the form of water, like in that movie, The Abyss, took me down to the basement, to a closet, where I peered into a hole in the floor that contained fire. I could not face it, and I ran up the steps. The basement in my childhood home had always been a fearful place. I decided to let my imagination drop me back into the dream to that closet, and this is what I saw and also what I drew. In my imagination, I opened the doors. I saw the hole in the floor, and it filled with black and red flames and lava, like in that movie Amityville Horror. I was afraid. In my drawing, I wrote the words secret and then power below that, and then fear of on the very top of the page. When I stepped back from my drawing, the energy shifted inside me from negative to a more positive sense of power. I began to wonder, what is the secret power that lives in my shadow? I came to see this image as assurance that something new was brewing inside me that was looking for a way out, something fiery and strong. From personal to collective, a significant similarity between the biblical book of Revelation and Aquaman is the seven fallen kingdoms in the film and the seven churches in the biblical story. In the film, Atlantis, which once was an advanced kingdom, falls into the sea because of its king's unquenchable thirst for more power. The people became fragmented into seven distinct nations, each evolving or devolving into separate looking and acting races. The Trench were one of the original Atlantean kingdoms that could be seen to represent a regression towards pure, insatiable primal instincts. I wondered about the role of the Trench creatures as the guardians of the Hidden Kingdom, the place where the golden trident was hidden after Atlantis crumbled and sank to the bottom of the ocean due to its hubris. It would be necessary to bring light to the shadow in order to find the treasure, the golden trident that could tame the beast, the instincts. One of the most powerful scenes is Aquaman and his female counterpart, Mira, representing the partnership of feminine and masculine, willingly diving into the water with nothing but flares. They swim to the deepest part of the ocean, surrounded by trench creatures who want to devour them. They must then go through a portal, not knowing if they'll survive. Once through the portal, they arrive at the hidden sea, a time of prehistoric creatures seemingly living peacefully. The golden trident is now in the lost world. It is the only thing that will unite the fragmented kingdoms of Atlantis, and the trident is guarded by the trench beast. Only a true king can acquire the trident, a king of pure motive. It turns out that overcoming the beast required humility, not strength. Aquaman kneels in total surrender, quote, "I am not worthy. I am a bastard son, a mongrel, a half-breed. I am here because I love my family," end quote. The beast could be seen to represent Satan, manifesting a shame, guilt, doubt about one's worthiness. After all, the foundation of division is an inherent lack of self-worth. Jesus, of course, was born to a woman pure in spirit, married to a carpenter man in a muddy manger. Jesus was born as a result of God's love. Aquaman was born of the love between two people from different worlds. Atlantis was once part of the surface world, but its greed was the cause of its demise, its sinking to the bottom of the ocean, and once a unified people became separated and divided and unable to communicate with each other. I don't know about you, but this is ringing a bell these days. Healing and reconciliation of feminine and masculine. A significant part of Robertson's interpretation of the book of Revelation has to do with reconciliation between many types of opposites, and ultimately between the feminine and masculine. Arthur was born to Tom Curry, a lighthouse keeper, and Atlanta, queen of Atlantis. Arthur's father is a humble land dweller who finds Atlanta on shore. She had escaped an arranged marriage. The product of their love is Arthur, who is seen by his queen mother as the potential for reconciliation between the sea and the land. Arthur's wound is a feminine wound because his mother must leave him, but he maintains a sense of relatedness with his father. Without his mother, Arthur relies mostly on his wounded masculine, which manifests as aggression. His mother is a warrior, and his father cares for a lighthouse. She sees him as being able to facilitate the healing between the sea and the land because he is a product of both. Eventually, Arthur has no choice but to go back to the depths after his half-brother Orm attacks the surface. This is the ultimate climax of violent division. He now must explore the other part of who he is, but has denied the sea, his unconscious, and the place of his wounded feminine and wounded masculine. It is the character Mira, who is an insider and pledged as wife to Orm, who bravely challenges convention. She partners with Arthur, guiding him on the journey with both her masculine and feminine. I would suggest that Arthur goes on two separate journeys. The first journey is facing the beast in the trench, where he faces his own demons, his shadow. But instead of killing the beast, he kneels in humility. After coming into relationship with his wounded self, his wounded child, he is ready for the physical battle, his heroine's journey to reconcile the land and sea. Examples of balanced feminine, masculine, and women. The main women characters in Aquaman, Queen Atlanta and Princess Mira, both play the role of disruptor, brave challengers of convention, striving towards the highest principle of love. Megan Chance is one of those women. The Queen is punished for her rebellion, sacrificed to the trench and assumed dead, but she survives and is redeemed. She is the wise woman who stands for unification and love. The Beast can also be seen to reflect the return of the feminine, a dark feminine, that can only be tamed by taking her rightful place as partner of the masculine. As Queen Atlanta watches her second-born son eventually being taken away, she tells him, quote, "Your father misled you. The sea and the land are one." And what she means is patriarchy and patriarchal religion have misled you. These two women prepare Aquaman to face the beast and secure the trident. Both women embody a balance of the feminine and masculine. They are able to focus on justice and be merciful, to judge the situation by facts and call on an inner knowing. When Aquaman is transformed as a result of securing the trident, his clothing transforms as well into a combination of intense green and gold, and the trident is made of gold. Mira is also dressed in green, with a gold crown on her head. My experience of the two of them felt numinous and caused me to recall something I read in Jung's mostly autobiographical book called Memories, Dreams, Reflections. During the time Jung was considering a connection between religion and psychology, he received a spontaneous image of Christ in his imagination. Quote, "I saw that his body was made of greenish gold," end quote. He connected this to the goal of alchemy, to reconcile spirit and matter. For me, Aquaman and Mira as partners brought to life Jung's experience for myself. Christ as the union of feminine and masculine, the union of spirit, heaven, and matter, earth, unified the fragmented kingdoms that were once Atlantis with the surface world. Around this time, I experienced my own spontaneous image, that of Christ and Mary merging. Why am I sharing this now? First, I'm amused by my own experiences of film, and I hope you're entertained. Second, I think this film reflects a potential climax of the damage that has been done to women and men, both literally and psychologically, by patriarchy, which is a system of domination, and which has informed every part of our lives, including religious belief. And the film also reflects the key to evolving beyond this world, which is reconciliation between perceived opposites, both inner and outer. Out of all the chaos of today has emerged increased consciousness for many and violent resistance from others. Those for which a heightened sense of empathy and compassion have erupted are now responsible for holding that space, especially for those who have been overtaken by fear. Am I crazy? What do you think? Have you ever been intrigued with a particular film's impact on you? You just couldn't stop thinking about it, but your friends couldn't understand, and you didn't know what to do with it? I love working with film images for myself and with my clients. They're not that different than working with dreams. If you like my post, please comment and share it with others, and to receive notifications of new blog posts, subscribe to my email list at deborahlukovich.com. I hope you enjoyed my reading of this blog post and you'll check out some of the links and wonder about your own experience with film. Until next time. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and you are listening to Dose of Depth podcast. To get updates on new episodes, my writing, and how I teach my clients to get to know that deeper part of themselves, go to DeborahLukovich.com. Oh, and if you're not ready for a coach, learn what my clients know in my book, Your Soul is Talking. Are you listening? 5 Steps to Uncovering Your Hidden Purpose. You can check it out on my website or get it on Amazon.